الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدين النصيحة. قلنا لمن؟ قال: لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم، أو كما قال عليهم الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and elders, we live in a time where people want things in a capsule. They want convenience, they want things to come with ease, they want solutions to be simple. Even design has gone the way where they talk about minimalistic design. Minimalistic design. Very simple, sharp lines, clear, clarity. So our deen also, alhamdulillah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on many occasions, he gave a capsule of advice for the ummah. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, they asked him a question, and in a single word, sometimes or in just one or two words, he gave an ocean of knowledge. One of our seniors used to say, an ocean in a teacup. Jamiul Kalim. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his speech was complete. It was vast. In a few words, he conveyed a huge message. So on one occasion, Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that ad-deen an-nasiha. And this, the Arabic language is such that one word has multiple meanings, and therefore a lot of explanation is required sometimes on just one word. So ad-deen, I think all of us know, we know that deen means religion. We say our deen is Islam. Alhamdulillah, Allah has made us Muslims. An-nasiha, so the most common thing that we remember that we have heard regarding this word is advice. You say that this person gave me nasiha, he gave me advice. Or in Urdu they say nasihat, he gave me nasihat, he gave advice. But this word nasiha, it has quite a few meanings. It means sincerity. It means also purity. And a nice English word that some of our scholars have used is altruism. Altruism. So I think sincerity and purity we understand. Altruism is to selflessly serve others. To selflessly serve others. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, as Hazrat Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu has informed us, that ad-deen an-nasiha. So if you just want to translate it literally, just to give us a basic understanding, is that this deen is sincerity. This deen is purity. This deen is good counsel. This deen is about selflessness in doing things to benefit others. That's what this deen is. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, they did us a great favor. Many a times when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned something, they asked him a question. Sometimes we feel, and it's our weakness, our shortcoming, we take a lesson from this. Sometimes there's a very senior person, and he has mentioned something, and due to the fact that we don't have the courage, or obviously in a respectable way, with adab, with respect, we don't ask a further question. So whatever the person mentioned, that's all we will know. It happens in the employment also. Sometimes the boss, he says something, gives an instruction. Now the person, he didn't fully understand that instruction, but he doesn't want to show the boss that he didn't understand, or maybe he didn't comprehend it fully, because he thinks that's going to affect his job. What will the boss think of him? Then he does the action according to his understanding. The instruction, he carries it out. Only for the boss to tell him that, you know, that's not what I wanted. If you had asked me, I would have told you exactly what that means, you know. So, sometimes our fear of wanting to show our ignorance means we are deprived. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, they didn't suffer from this. At any opportunity, because their goal was the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Their goal was Jannah. Their goal was to please Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not to show off, not to make a false pretense about who they were in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the moment Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something, if they didn't understand, they asked him immediately after that. So in this hadith also, they asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Liman, that means for who? This deen is sincerity for who? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then explained, Lillah, for Allah Ta'ala. Wali kitabihi, and his books. Wali rasulihi, and his messenger. Wali a'immatil muslimin, and for the leaders of the Muslims. And lastly, wa ammatihim, and for the general public. So now we need to break this up. Alhamdulillah, the Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam this question, and it gave us some understanding that the sincerity that we are talking about, this purity, this altruism that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about, it's for Allah Ta'ala, it's for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's with regards to the Kitab of Allah, the Quran Sharif, it's for also the leaders of the Muslims, and it's for the general masses that we are. We are among the general masses. So, what does this mean? So the ulama explained that this sincerity for each one of these categories is different. For each one of these categories, to be sincere for each one of these categories is different. So we are being told that your religion is about sincerity. And number one, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's sincerity towards Allah Ta'ala. So what does this mean? So it means that Allah Ta'ala is the one who created us. He's the one who nurtured us. He gave us life. We were in non-existence. He brought us into existence. He made this whole world and all of the ni'mats of this world, the creation of this world, He brought it into existence for our sake. Allah Ta'ala says that He did not create the heavens and the earth. And He did not create man also, except for His worship. He created the heaven, created man for His worship. So, a person who is sincere to Allah Ta'ala, that means he has recognized, he recognizes that Allah Ta'ala is the one who benefited him, who created him, etc. And therefore, to be sincere to Allah, he needs to obey the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. If you're sincere, if you are in your heart, that to Allah Ta'ala. Remember, we can't benefit Allah Ta'ala in any way. There's nothing that we can do that is of value, that is of benefit to Allah. In the Quran Sharif, in the Surah Ikhlas, we read the Surah all the time. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say He, Allah is one. And He is independent. So this word independent doesn't do justice. The ulama writes that the word independent in the English language doesn't do justice to Allah Ta'ala. What it means, as-samad, means that everyone is dependent on Allah and Allah is independent of everyone. Allah is independent of everyone and everyone is dependent on Him. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of anyone, but everyone is in need of Allah. That's what this word samad means. One is you can say the person, he's got a big bank balance, he's got a good, his own business, maybe freehold house, car, then we say, no, this man is independent, right? What we mean is that in inverted commas, that he doesn't really need anybody else, right? But that's a loose word because he needs the government, he needs so many things that are around him. He's not in a true sense that he can live without anybody else. But Allah Ta'ala, when we say Allah Ta'ala is independent, then we don't, there's no similitude with the creation at all. Because Allah Ta'ala's independence is such that He is independent of everyone and everyone needs Him. Every single being, creature, the heavens and the earth, everything is in need of Allah Ta'ala. So to be sincere to Allah Ta'ala is to believe in Him, to obey Him, to do that which pleases Him, and to worship Him solely, to stay away from shirk. If you are sincere that this is my true benefactor, this is the being who created me, then how can I afford any worship or to do any action for anyone besides Allah? How can I do any action for anyone besides Allah? We're talking about the original purpose of the action. We mustn't get confused. Sometimes we are doing things for people. We are pleasing our parents. We are making the khidmat. We are doing things for our wives, our children. We are doing things for the community. But in the true sense, we are doing these things for Allah Ta'ala's sake. Because Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to be good to our parents, to be good to our wives, to obey our employer, the person who is employing us in that which he is asking us to do that is permissible in deen. To do that, to do good to others, to assist the poor and the needy. We're doing all these actions for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala has made these good actions. These things, Allah Ta'ala has informed us that these actions are pleasing to me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said afterwards, وَلِكِتَابِهِ and to the book of Allah. What is sincerity to the book of Allah Ta'ala? You know, sincerity to the book of Allah Ta'ala, sometimes we bring many words on our tongue, but I am addressing myself first. Our actions show that there is emptiness in it. There's a lack of sincerity in it. We say that we love Allah Ta'ala, we love the Quran Sharif, because this is the kalam of Allah. We believe in it. We say it is the revealed book. There's no changes in this book. It is the last and final book that was sent for the hidayat of mankind. We show it respect also. We keep it clean. If somebody, na'udhu billah, is trying to disrespect the Quran Sharif, it drives anger within our heart. We are displeased about it. It affects us. But if you look into our lives, days, if not months, sometimes pass, but we don't open the Quran Sharif. We don't read the Quran Sharif. We don't live by the Quran Sharif. We came out from the month of Ramadan, when we made the khatam of the Quran Sharif, many, many places, the imam who is making dua, he says, Ya Allah, make this Quran Sharif the imam of my life. That when I'm deciding, what is the imam, the leader, the guide, when I'm deciding where to go in my life, which direction to take, I'm looking for guidance, I'm looking for someone to lead me, then I must look into the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif should be my guide. Obviously, many of us are not scholars of deen, so we don't have the complete understanding, or we don't understand the Arabic language sometimes, right? But what it means is that if we don't know, even though I'm making the Quran Sharif my guide, I'm making it my imam, I'm going to use it for guidance, it means that if I want to know what is the right way, I will consult someone who knows the Quran Sharif. Someone who understands the meaning of the Quran Sharif and ask him that what is the way? This is my problem. This is where I am. What does Allah Ta'ala say with regards to this? Guide me according to the Quran. In Ramadan, we met one person. 7 years ago, he accepted Islam. He doesn't understand, he doesn't know how to recite the Arabic of the Quran. He doesn't know how to recite Quran Sharif. He's still trying to learn. But he said that I have completed every year one entire recitation in the English language. Every year, since I accepted Islam, I have read the entire Quran Sharif that has been translated into English from cover to cover. Brothers, we as born Muslims sometimes, have we even read the translation of the Quran Sharif? We don't understand the Arabic language. We don't understand the meaning. We are hearing surahs from the time we are 5 and 6 years old, we can remember. But have we taken out the time to learn the meaning of the Quran? Did Allah Ta'ala only send the Quran Sharif to us for recitation, just to hear the melodious recitation of the Quran? No, that wasn't the only purpose. The purpose was to be a guide, a means of hidayah. How do you get guidance if you don't know what the meaning is? So this is a lesson for me, this is a lesson for you, that if we are sincere to the Quran and we love the Quran, then we have to find time in our life to read the Quran. We have to find time in our life to understand the meaning of the Quran. And we are not being told that we must just try and understand it on our own. This is also a problem. Nobody, when he's got a problem with the government or with the tax man, with SARS, so now he needs to make an important decision about how to pay his taxes, so he goes and reads the tax guide by himself. He doesn't do it by himself, self-study, because he knows if I make a mistake, the tax man may knock on my door, they may question me, or the government department is going to question me that I didn't fulfill this regulation and that regulation. So he goes to a lawyer, he goes to an accountant. When a person is sick, does he just go on the internet now and download one medical journal and he reads it? And then whatever, he finds some medication there and he just goes and takes the medication without consulting with the doctor. Doesn't do that. So in the same way, the kalam of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran Sharif, the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there are people who have specialized, they have taken out time to understand the message of Allah, to understand the message of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We should consult with them. This is our way, my way and your way of finding out this guidance to get this hidayat from the Quran Sharif, to get the hidayat from the ahadith, and to be sincere to the Quran. Thereafter Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and to be sincere to the messenger, to his messenger. What does this mean? It means to love Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi has mentioned the hadith, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, none of you have brought iman. None of you have brought iman until I become more beloved to you. That means Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam becomes more beloved to us. Then our parents, our children, and all the people. It doesn't mean that we won't love anybody else. Look at the words that Nabi Sassam said. Ahabba ilayya. Ahabba ilayhi. What does that mean? More beloved. That means he loves his wife, he loves his children, he loves his parents. But when there comes a choice, and his parents or his wife or his children or his, or the people are telling him to do something, and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling him, no, this is what you should be doing, then his love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is more. So he will prefer Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam over somebody else. When they are telling us something to do, the deen has allowed us to do, there's no problem. Our parents are telling us to do that which is permissible in the deen, no problem. We are supposed to, even our non-Muslim parents, serve them, obey them, do things to please them. But when they ask us to do something that Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are not happy with, and they have shown us some other direction, then we have to prefer that over them. Why? Because we have to love them more. We have to love Allah Ta'ala more. We have to love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more. This is part of our iman. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, none of you have believed, meaning that your iman is not complete. My iman won't be complete. Your iman won't be complete until we love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than our parents, our children and the people in general. So this is part of sincerity to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To show respect to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Respect to the Sunnah. Sometimes we have weaknesses. We know that this is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized or he gave encouragement towards. Now we are weak. We should be aiming to implement it in our life, right? We should be striving. We should be making dua that Ya Allah, make every sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beloved to me. Let me practice on every sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what is going to draw the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. But at the same time, if we find ourselves weak, we find ourselves short in something, we lacking the himmat and the courage to practice, at least don't disrespect the sunnah. Don't give it a position when people are, nah, it's just sunnah. Man. What? You know, we don't have to do all of these things. We shouldn't disrespect the sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he strove to teach the ummah one sunnah, sahaba radha anhum, how they went to learn, to practice in difficult times. Nobody is questioning us, nobody is putting us through any kind of difficulties. In fact, we have so much of ease, but we are short in so many sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq first and grant you tawfiq. But this is part of sincerity to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that we bring the sunnah in our lives. Find out, get a kitab on the sunnahs, especially the emphasized sunnahs. Find out from the ulama and practice on it. Make a timetable, make a list for yourself. Try one every month, see how I can bring this one. One a week, whatever you are inclined towards, but make an effort and start ticking it off and bring it into a person's life. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sincerity to the leaders of the Muslims. What does this mean? That we obey them also. Allah Ta'ala has made leaders in our deen, the ulama, our leaders, and then we have also leaders of Muslim countries, those that are. When a person is a leader of a Muslim country, so we look at the overall, Allah Ta'ala has given him hukumat to be obedient to the leader and a khalifa of the country, of the Muslim ummah, of the khilafah. This is important, it's necessary. It's not always the case that the leader is doing everything correct, but that doesn't mean the people shouldn't obey him. This happened in the time of Sahaba radha anhum also. There were times Sahaba radha anhum were under the leadership of people that were doing wrong things. But in the things the leader was telling them that was good, they still obeyed him. Because he's the leader. Allah Ta'ala has made him the leader of the Muslims. That is a separate issue about the things that he is doing that is wrong. We should make dua for our leaders. Allah Ta'ala guide our leaders. Whatever they are doing that's right, we should thank Allah Ta'ala. We should praise and make dua for them. And the things that they are doing that are wrong, we should make dua that Allah Ta'ala grants them hidayat. We should want good for them. We should want good for them. It's not an easy thing to lead the people. It's a difficult thing. When a person becomes a leader, he has to face a lot of challenges. It's not easy to make everyone happy also. It's not easy. I may have given this example here before, but it is coming to mind. Let's see, our job is in life is to please Allah Ta'ala. Please one Allah. The pleasure, pleasing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, also Allah Ta'ala made it easy, is not different from pleasing Allah. It's part of pleasing Allah. So we're still pleasing one Allah. There was one family, husband, wife, child, and they had one animal. So they were traveling, and they had one animal. So they made a small mashura, and then they decided that the father will sit on the animal. So they started traveling. They went to the first town. They stopped there to buy some groceries maybe. So the people in the town, they said, look at this family. The man is like a, you know, authoritarian rule. The lady is walking. Son is walking. Lady is walking and he's sitting on the animal, you know. Where's the respect for the woman folk? So this message got to them. So the husband said, okay, no problem, you sit on the camel. So he put his wife on the camel. And they went and they carried on traveling. They reached the next town. So the people looked at them in the next town. The word started going around. Look at this lady. She wears the pants in the house. She wears the pants in the house. Husband is walking and the son is walking. You can see who's calling the shots here. So then that message reached them. So they said, okay, you jump off. You put the child on top. The boy is small. Maybe they're thinking he's tired or whatever. So they put him on top. Next town they went to, so the people are saying there, where's the respect for the elders? No respect for the elders. No respect for the elders. The elders are walking and the youngster is sitting on the camel. So they said, okay, you know what? Rather all of us, we don't sit on the camel. Don't sit on the camel. We just pull the camel with us. They went to the next town. So in that town, the people said, look at these people. They're all walking, they got a camel, nobody's using it. Where's the intelligence? You got an animal, and they're all walking and they're pulling the animal, nobody's using it. So they said, okay, no problem. Next, they all sat on the camel. Father, mother, and the child sat on the camel. Went to the next town, the people said, look at this animal rights. This is a zulm, injustice upon the animal. The animal is supposed to carry one person, three people are sitting on the animal. This is the halat of the dunya. This is the reality of this world. You will not be able to please everyone. Don't even attempt to do that. What you should do is try to please Allah Ta'ala. And what in pleasing Allah Ta'ala, the guidance would be that this is the person that will be pleased in this occasion, that person that will be pleased in that occasion. Maybe sometimes everyone will be pleased and sometimes nobody will be pleased. Sometimes nobody in the creation will be happy with you, but Allah Ta'ala is happy with you. Lastly, sincerity. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at the end of this hadith, he mentioned that ad-deen an-nasiha. That means this deen is about sincerity, and sincerity also to the common people. Brothers, the lost asset of this ummah is ikhlas and sincerity. The lost asset of this ummah. Every day, some action or the other, if a person introspects in his life, or you see it sometimes, not that we should be judging other people, but sometimes it's exposed, Allah Ta'ala exposes it, that people are doing deeds for ulterior motives. There isn't the selflessness to do something for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And I'll end on this one example. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he was fighting in the battlefield. He was a great warrior, as you all know. He was slaying the enemy in a jihad. And then he came onto one person and he toppled him over. The person was basically lying on his back. And he was about to kill him. And then this person spat in his face. The moment he spat in Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu's face, he got up. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu got up and started walking away. This person found this very remarkable. He was shocked. I was on my deathbed. He had the ability to kill me. But he just got up and he walked away after me spitting on his face. What's the reason for this? Now imagine in the midst of the battle, he chases after Ali radiallahu anhu. He stops him. He said, you had me on the ground. Look at this one action, what an effect it had. You had me on the ground and you could have taken my life. Why did you stop after I spat on you? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, it's a lesson for me, it's a lesson for you. He said that all this time I was fighting for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. I was killing not for myself. I was killing to establish the deen of Allah Ta'ala, to defend the deen of Allah Ta'ala. When you spat on me, I became angry. And if I killed you at that moment, I would have killed you because of myself, because of the anger that was in my heart. And that wouldn't have been for Allah. I'd rather die that I got up and I walked away and you slayed me and I passed away in the battlefield, but that I did one action that was not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq wa akhiru ta'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.